He Has Made Him Known, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The true God is not a God that will be found as a result of our God-seeking. He will only be revealed as He looks for and finds us. This is what was happening when Jesus was born.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the conversion of Paul. You can make an online tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
One of the greatest abilities God has given each of us is our ability to believe. If you believe, you can be successful. If you believe, you can overcome mistakes of the past. If you believe, you can fulfill your God-given destiny. There is incredible power in what we believe.
The familiar voice of Joel Osteen. He hosts a worldwide broadcast every week of his service from the largest megachurch in the United States, Lakewood in Houston, Texas. His books are read by millions. Millions. Millions watch him, and his latest book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life, is promising to be yet another best-selling book. Now, is what Joel says true? That the power is in our faith, and the power is in us to break barriers, to move beyond old mistakes, if we just believe enough. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We're going to be reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life, for the first hour or so of Issues Etc. A little bit later, Tammy Ross joins us from GetReligion.org. We're going to talk about media coverage of the Texas Merry Christmas Law and a New York Times story about Christian adoption that she found rather good. And then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us, our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today in Isaiah 35, the ransomed shall return. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Tom is a regular guest. Pastor Tom Baker, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What's the basic message that someone picking up Joel Osteen's latest bestseller, Breakout, what's the basic message that the reader is going to get out of the book?
The basic message is definitely a message that the old Adam loves, namely that if you can just have a different attitude, think more positively, have faith as he understands it, then you can do what normally is impossible with the help of God. So it's a message particularly for people who have problems in their life, either of a sickness, finances, relationships. And I really believe it takes 4 or 5 years before we find out, attending that church, that the message doesn't work.
You said faith as Osteen understands it. How does he understand it?
That is probably the most important difference between biblical faith and Osteen's faith. If I ask someone, do you believe in Jesus Christ? The question always is, what is the object of faith? And in fact, I tried this last night with somebody who had called me, and the person said, well, the object of faith is, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, even the Mormons say that. What is it specifically that is the object of faith? And the way I do this, how do you trust someone? If I said to you, Todd, that we'll meet at McDonald's tomorrow at noon and I show up at 12:30, and oh, we'll try it the next day then I show up at 1 o'clock and somebody says, do you trust Tom Baker? Todd's going to say, no, I don't, because he doesn't keep his promises. The object of biblical faith are the gospel promises that are found in the Scripture that are related to you distinctly. They are not promises given to Moses that he will lead people to the promised land, or to David that he will build the temple, but the promises of the forgiveness of sins, of the robe of righteousness, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. But in Joel Osteen's understanding of promises, he believes that, and he uses this wordage, as we will see, anytime that you have a dream, and it's a dream that you can't possibly do on your own, that's kind of like a promise from God. So when he says you need to have faith, his faith, the object of his faith, are not the passages of the Bible that relate to you. The word forgiveness isn't even found in the whole book, but rather the dreams that he believes God has placed in your heart. And God wouldn't place them there if he wasn't going to fulfill. And so where does faith come in? Faith is believing that the dreams that you have about more money, more possessions, better relationships, a better job, that these have been placed in your heart by God, and if you will only believe them and be certain of them, then you take the limits off of God, and he will fulfill those dreams for you.
Let's hear a little bit from the book itself, and you mentioned this a moment ago, Tom, the issue of attitude, something that Osteen talks a lot about. Here's Joel Osteen from his book Breakout talking about your new attitude.
Your new attitude should be, God, I'm ready. I'm taking the limits off of you. I'm enlarging my vision. I may not see a way, but I know you have a way. I declare I'm coming into a shift. You need to check doors that have been closed to you in the past. Things have shifted. The dream you had to start a new business, to go back to college, to take a missions trip. It may not have happened the first time, but that's okay. It's prepared you for this time. Don't give up. This is a new day. Things have shifted. Pursue your dreams again. When God breathes in your direction, people change their mind. Closed doors suddenly open. The no's turn into yeses. The not now's turn into it's your time.
Tom, what is Osteen saying there, and how do you respond?
What he is saying is that you need to get God turning towards you, and the way you do that is you have to fulfill certain principles that he sets throughout the book, and we'll be taking a look at some of those in greater detail. You need to pass the test, and once God sees that you pass the test, then he will begin to work in your life. I actually did a sermon on this last weekend. I was so fascinated by the book. And I spoke about white lies. White lies are very tempting. Just ask Eve and Adam when Satan came to them and said, don't you want to be like God, knowing good and evil, and you will surely not die? Well, they understood those in a way that Satan didn't mean them. In other words, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And yes, they knew good and evil, but not in a way that God knew it. They actually participated in evil. And this is how I understand, if you listen closely, you can really be tempted by this because it sounds so good. The word sounds so biblical. The passages he uses are from the Bible at times, but they're always taken out of context, and they're always moving you to be tempted by them so that you begin to have a greater assurance of your own self and your own faith rather than the work of Jesus Christ.
So when he says something like, your attitude ought to be, I'm ready, it's time to move past all these old barriers, revisit all those doors that were closed before, he's really talking, and in the course of the book, I think it comes out in great detail, he's not talking about things like the forgiveness of sins. We might read that in that way. He's talking about job opportunities, opportunities for advancement, more wealth, more influence, some rather worldly things, in fact, Tom.
And they're always for believers, he says. Well, what I said in my sermon, I'm going to write another book, and I'm going to use the same kind of, it's not really theology, it's a psychology or a sociology, because what Joel Osteen is talking about is a lot of times experienced by everybody, that suddenly something happens you didn't expect to happen. But the point I would make in my book is this doesn't just happen to believers, it happens to unbelievers. And I would use examples like Bill Gates, who is almost the richest man in the world and does not believe in Jesus Christ. And I would give example after example that all you need is that positive attitude, kind of like following that he has already done, somebody like Schuller, Robert Schuller of the Glass Cathedral, the same kind of psychology. You don't need Jesus. And all of my heroes, all of my examples, would be unbelievers who received really beneficial items in the temporal world that they didn't expect.
We'll talk about more of this on the other side of the break, but it sounds like what you're saying is a lot of what Osteen is producing and what is his readers and his viewers find so appealing is just recycled, essentially positive thinking.
Well said.
Is there also an element of what is called word faith, that is, name it and claim it theology at work in Joel Osteen? About a minute.
It was halfway through the book before I realized that at the end of every chapter, he has that kind of statement where he almost becomes God. He says, I'm declaring. And then he declares something that isn't found in the Bible about you, but because he's declaring it, it needs to be true, he thinks.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break on this Thursday afternoon, December the 12th. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's new book called Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio with your questions or comments on Joel Osteen, his book and his theology. For Pastor Tom Baker, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back. When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born?
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
I believe and declare, in spite of the pain, in spite of the adversity, because you're still in the game, God is going to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Some familiar words from Joel Osteen, taken from his book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. We're reviewing the book with Pastor Tom Baker on this Thursday afternoon, the 12th of December. Tom, there's a strange juxtaposition in Joel Osteen's latest book that I think has been kind of echoed in his previous books, but he makes it clear in this one. And I want to hear from Osteen on this, where he, two things. He talks about how we're, in essence, kind of unlimited beings, or the way he puts it, and it, this is kind of his version of the gospel, Tom. He says, you are uncontainable.
When God created us, he put seeds of increase on the inside. We were never made to reach one level and stop. We were created to grow, to move forward, and to increase. We should be constantly breaking the barriers of the past, taking new ground for our families, and advancing God's kingdom. But throughout life, there will always be forces trying to keep us where we are. They can't stop the progress we've made, but they'll do their best to contain us. And that's the way the forces of darkness work against us. They're constantly trying to push us down, limit our influence, and keep us from taking any new ground. But can I give you some good news today? You are uncontainable. The forces in you are greater than the forces trying to contain you.
Tom, is that Joel Osteen's version of the gospel, the good news?
I would say that it's an understanding of the gospel where they just take the two Greek words, which means good news. And good news for someone who is sick would be that they're going to get well. For someone who is in a bad economy, that they're going to become rich. For someone who considers themselves to be a sinner, it's good news if you hear about the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ. I cannot find one place in the entire book where the spiritual gifts of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness are ever mentioned, because for Joel Osteen, good news is always in regard to the temporal world, and therefore God is going to fill you up and do things for you that you never thought were possible in the temporal world. It's as though Joel Osteen and others like him of the Word Faith Movement have never heard the Bible passage that those who have hope only for this world are most miserable. In other words, the hope that he gives them is a hope in your specific temporal problems. And if you only get a desire in your heart to change that, he believes that desire comes from God and declares, therefore, that God will fulfill it if you only follow the proper principles.
Whereas Osteen says that you, that is we, are uncontainable, throughout the entire book he repeats many times that God, on the other hand, is limited.
You control your own destiny. God is for you. The enemy is against you. You get to cast the deciding vote. I'm asking you to take the limits off of God. Even though God has amazing things in your future, he is limited by your capacity to receive. It's as if you have a 1 gallon bucket, yet I have 50 gallons to give you. The problem is not with the supply. The problem is you don't have the capacity to receive. If you trade in that small container and get something bigger, then I can give you more. Make room for God to do something new. Give him permission to increase you. You have to give God permission to prosper you.
What in the world is Osteen saying here, Tom?
He is saying that God is limited until you get the amount of faith that is necessary to unlimit God so that he can provide you with the things that he wants you to do. It's as though God's attitude is such that I have limits and you're the only one that can take them off of me. We don't have the capacity to receive great and miraculous things until we have that faith that believes. You can understand why the Joel Osteens of the world and the Rick Warrens, therefore, don't believe in infant baptism, because an infant has no capacity to receive. The whole concept that God is a gracious God giving to people what they don't deserve is not found anywhere in this book, because there are certain things you need to do in order to merit God no longer becoming limited. And the power, on page 125, for example, the power to unlimited God is activated only when we believe. That means right now the creator of the universe is just waiting to release healing, restoration, favor, promotion, and abundance. The only catch is we have to believe. Oh, can you imagine Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, and the Father repeating back to him, I'm sorry, Jesus, I can't, because they don't believe. It just turns the entire Bible of justification by grace through faith on account of Jesus upside down.
He says you have to give God permission to do certain things.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever even heard anyone say that, much less found that in Holy Scripture, that we need to give God permission to do something.
That's an exact quote from page 49. You have to give God permission to prosper you. We Christians are the most prosperous people in the world because we have received the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. We are also receiving God's blessings. There is never a day that he doesn't continue to bless us. But if you're talking about temporal benefits, then Joel Osteen suddenly has a different God in mind who is incapacitated to give you what he wants to give you until you have the right attitude. It's as though God is the subject of all of the sentences in saying, you need to be the subject of the sentences. You need to follow these principles. You need to have the kind of faith, or I am helpless to help you.
But this is really convenient for Joel Osteen in a lot of ways, because he can point to his very materially prosperous life and say, look, I'm proof that this works. I have given God permission to prosper me, and he's done it. I have released God from his limits, and he's blessed me. Now, the reason it hasn't worked for you is because you haven't done what I've done. And when you do, you'll see. But if you don't see those things, then you haven't done it enough. It's very convenient. I mean, he can claim that his system works every time. You're just not doing it right.
There are a number of examples where he uses his own family. His father was a trunk lid was locked, and it came up automatically just by him praying over it. His mother had cancer, and all of a sudden it was gone, and she was healed. The thing he doesn't realize is that for every example he gives in his book of his own family, I can think of an example that occurs in the family of an unbeliever. You do not need faith for spectacular events to happen to you. In fact, the Psalms often make a point that it appears that the evil people in the world get along better in the world and have greater amount of abundance than do the believers. Well, just take a look. This is the very opposite of what Joel is saying.
Here's Joel Osteen again from his latest book, Breakout: 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life, talking about the real key.
That's the key. The only promises that will come alive in your life and end up becoming realities are the promises where you rise up and say, yes, that's for me. You have to get in agreement with God and let it take root. If you make excuses and talk yourself out of it, then the promise will not take root. If you hear the promise that God has blessings in your future, then you'll rise up and say, this is for me. Lord, I believe it. I release my faith for explosive blessings, for the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing greatness of your favor. That's what allows God to do great things.
Tom, if what Joel Osteen is saying there is true, and the only promises of God that do me any good are the ones that I consciously rise up and get in agreement with God on, then I'm doomed, aren't I?
The very essence of the Christian faith is taken away. I'll show you how it's done by Osteen and also by many evangelicals. They'll come to an unbeliever and they'll say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. You see what they do first? They make faith the cause of the forgiveness of your sins. In contrast to that, when Jesus from the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, when he died on the cross, he did not die just for the elect. He did not die just for those who have faith. He died for the entire world, for God so loved the world. So the message is, to an unbeliever, your sins have been forgiven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's a denial of the objective justification of Jesus' work on the cross to give the forgiveness of sins to every person. Now, you don't go to heaven just because he's forgiven your sins. You need to receive that gift of forgiveness, and that's where faith comes in. But the fact that he's forgiven us denies Joel's statement that the promise of the forgiveness of sins does not take root until you do your part. Imagine Jesus fed 5,000 people. There was no understanding on their part that they would get all that food. No, the promise is made, brought to fulfillment first, because God is the author of the promises. God is the author and finisher of our faith, and we don't have to be worried about whether or not we have sufficient faith to receive the promises that he's given to us.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. It's Thursday afternoon, December the 12th. I invite your questions and your comments. This break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Imagine there's no pastor, no call and ordination to, nothing to go to SIM for. Would it matter to me and you? If you believe it would, then visit us at acelc.net and register for Christ for us in the Office of the Holy Ministry, the next conference of the Association of Confessing Evangelical Lutheran Congregations in Cedar Falls, Iowa, February 25th through 27th. Imagine that it matters at acelc.net.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin on Christmas and on the conversion of Paul. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and conversion of Paul sermons.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's the key. God is not okay with you fulfilling half of your destiny. He's not okay with you fulfilling part of it. God will make sure that you complete what He put you here to do.
We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book, Breakout. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Now, if you find it remarkable that someone could be the pastor of the world's largest megachurch, the United States' largest megachurch, and say these kind of things, there is an explanation for this, by the way. This is the kind of stuff that appeals to the old Adam, but you don't need a lot of, formal theological training to come to these kind of conclusions, and Joel has none whatsoever. It's a great reason that the church has always maintained that its pastors ought to be not only well-educated in the scriptures and theology, but trained to think like God's word, to think in terms of the scriptural vocabulary, what scripture means, and especially according to its central message, our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what they're doing as they train pastors at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, training them to think like God's word thinks, training them to stick to the scriptures, not to speculate, not to come up with their own bright ideas that might sell books, but simply to stick to God's word and every word of it. At Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, that's how the pastors are trained. You can find out more about it at their website, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Tom, it sounds as though, I want to make sure that I get Osteen straight here. It sounds as though, rather than, as you said earlier in our conversation, that our faith is to depend upon God's objective promise, it sounds like Joel Osteen is saying that God's promise depends on my faith.
The fulfillment of God's promise, yes, does depend on whether or not I believe sufficiently so God can see my faith. He has a whole understanding that you need to show God your faith, which I find very interesting.
Well, let's hear what he has to say in that respect. This is Joel Osteen from his book, Breakout, saying just that, that God needs to see your faith before he's going to do what he wants to do.
The action you take doesn't have to be something big. It could be just a small step to show God your faith. Are you doing something to show God you're serious about your dreams coming to pass? God is not moved by our needs. He's concerned about our needs, but God is moved by our faith. When God sees you doing what you can to get well, when He sees you getting to work a little earlier because you want that promotion, when He sees you bypass the cookie jar because you're believing to lose weight, that is when extraordinary things will happen. You'll see favor and opportunity that will thrust you to a new level when you take action to show your faith.
What is wrong with what Osteen is saying here, Tom?
That was an excellent quotation to show how it's self-interest. Did you hear what he said? God isn't moved by your needs. Oh, that's wonderful. How would you like to have parents that aren't moved by the needs of a baby, but wait until the baby's faith comes around to ask what needs to be done? And the other item that was quoted there, you get to work earlier. Why? Because you're honoring Christ and doing... No, in order to get a promotion. Almost every item to show your faith is always out of a self-interest reason to show God that you're really interested in getting more money or getting better health or having a better relationship. And so on various pages, like on 116, God said you would restore health unto me and heal me of my wounds. You said I would live and not die. Now, he uses Bible verses out of context like that to tell people that they don't have to be worried about what the trained physicians are saying, because we have a better physician in God. I'm looking to the day when somebody is going to end up suing them because they did not take the medical advice that they should have, relied instead on Joel Osteen, and they became even more ill or died. This is somebody who pretends he's God. And in the idea of talking, showing God your faith, it's as though God is ignorant of the level of your faith. Furthermore, the Reformation showed us to be 100% saints in Christ, but 100% sinners. If I try and show God my faith in order to get more blessings from him, then I'm not doing what is correct out of my love for Christ. I'm doing it out of the reason that I want to get something from God, and I want to take the limits off of God. And when I take the limits off of God, then he will thrust me further, as it says on page 33, and it will allow God to do what he promises to do.
Does this go together with something that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, that for Joel Osteen, a lot of one's own prosperity depends upon, as he puts it, passing the test?
Yes. There's so many things I could say at this point. Page 13, I'll just name a few of them. You've been faithful, you passed the test. 28, be a believer and not a doubter. When you do that, God Almighty will open doors that no man can shut. 82, keep moving forward, being your best, honoring God, being determined and persistent, and God promises you in your future. In other words, it seems like God is limited to help me until I show him my faith, until I pass the kind of tests that Joel Osteen says we need to do. And finally, 175, if you pass the test, listen to that if, God will release what he has in your future. One of the main distinctions between law and gospel is the law is heard when there are conditions you must meet. The gospel is heard when there are no conditions because God has met them all. Time and time again, Joel Osteen sets up conditions to free God from being limited. It's a God I don't recognize. You can't call him almighty if he can simply be put out of place by the unbelief of his followers.
Chet is listening in East St. Louis. Chet, thanks for waiting on the line.
Good evening. Merry Christmas, you guys.
Yes.
Pastor Todd, I just want to tell you, you got a bit of a prophetic gift yourself there, because the question I was going to call in and ask is this guy for real? I mean, you know, the stuff that he professes in his book is just outlandish, and, you know, where did he get the audacity to come up with all of these things that he contends about God being God spoke with? And, you know, obviously he's serious about it because he fills a 40,000 capacity stadium every Sunday for his services, but it's just simply amazing when you talked after the break about how he doesn't have any theological training, any education in that area. You know, where did he come off making all these proclamations in the books that he writes? It's just unbelievable that he would have the audacity to think that he's right about everything.
Chet, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in East St. Louis. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
I had a father, and I remember one Saturday he said, we're going to go to McDonald's today. And I looked at him and said, you know, Dad, we always go to McDonald's. I have a dream in my heart that I think God has placed there that we should go to Ruth's Chris, which is like $90 a person instead of McDonald's, which is $3 or $4 a person. And my dad looks at me and he says, you know, Tom, if you have that desire in your heart, then I need to fulfill it because I'm your father. This is ridiculous. This is exactly what Osteen is saying. And that's why so many people are going to him, because he is presenting a God that is far better than any parent ever was. Can you imagine that all you say is, this is a dream that I have in my heart, and therefore, if I have it in my heart and it's not sinful, then you, Dad, need to provide it. You need to fulfill it. That's why people go there, because they are learning how to manipulate God. They are now seeing God as a servant in a way that is really quite different. We're to serve one another and our neighbor. Jesus does serve us, but by dying on a cross and by giving us the robe of righteousness. But I can understand why people would be flooding to a church where they hear of a God that can be so easily manipulated as you lower his limitations.
The moment God put a dream in your heart, the moment the promise took root, God not only started it, but he set a completion date. God is called the author and the finisher of our faith. God wouldn't have given you the dream. The promise wouldn't have come alive if he didn't already have a plan to bring it to pass. It doesn't matter how long it's been or how impossible it looks. Your mind may tell you it's too late, you've missed too many opportunities, it's never going to happen. No, God is saying, it's not over. I have the final say, I've already set the completion date. If you will stay in faith and not talk yourself out of it, it's just a matter of time before it comes to pass.
Tom, what is Osteen saying there?
That's found on page 237, and it is the essence of his sermons and lectures, that when you have a dream in your heart, it's God who put it there, and therefore he will complete it. All you have to do is have sufficient faith. Now, this is very close, of course, also to what Warren teaches. And I wonder how Joel Osteen would have comforted Warren at the death of his son who committed suicide. According to the principles of both Warren and Osteen, he would have had to say, you know, you really didn't follow your principles. First of all, you should have loved your son. Second of all, you should have prayed to God, and not just regular prayers, but big-size prayers. Third, you should have shown him your faith, and he would have restored your family. This is a terrible book for people who are going through difficult times, because the only answer that this book gives them as to why they're such a failure in the relationship world, in the economic world, and so forth, is because they don't have enough faith. Joel Osteen doesn't blame God because God has limitations on him. He blames you for not doing the principles that he enunciates.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book called Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. When we come back, another question for Tom on how Joel Osteen equates my dreams with God's promises. Stay tuned. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas, St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin, Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois, Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. The Advent hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers, sung by the National Lutheran Choir. And it's playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 sacred music station. We call it Sacred Music for the World. You can listen anytime, anywhere. And whenever you listen, you will find the church's music throughout the centuries following the course of the church year. Advent music playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's latest book called Breakout. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Let's see what Mike has to say. He is listening in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. And I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And Pastor Baker, I miss you on Law and Gospel. You really did a great job there. What I wanted to say about Osteen here, and not just Osteen, but a lot of these other guys, I've looked at these guys for a long time. And, you know, really what they're doing is they're just taking a particular marketing technique and putting it on steroids. They're basically creating a sense of dissatisfaction, and then they introduce a product to fill that void that they've created. And if I could take a quote from Luther's Bondage of the Will, which, by the way, is probably the greatest book I've ever read, quite frankly, it's so relevant. Here's what Luther says concerning this almost very same issue, and I quote, "Here I see you are taking the view that the truth and usefulness of Scripture should be measured and decided according to the feeling of men." Luther continues, "One who talks as you do must imagine that the living God is no more than a wild, inconsequent ranter shouting from a soapbox, whose words you may interpret, receive, or refute as you please, according to their observed effect on the ungodly." End quote. And it's that last sentence that I really want to key on. God's word that you may interpret according to the observed effect on your audience. That's what these guys do. They refine their marketing techniques over a number of years, and they adjust their work according to the observed effect on the emotions of their audience. And if I could add one more thing, this is nothing new. As you said before, this is the very same technique that the serpent had in the garden with Eve. And these people who are supporting and purchasing Joel Osteen's materials, they should take full responsibility for guys like Joel Osteen being in these positions of power. And these people should be totally ashamed of themselves.
Mike, thanks for listening in Kansas City. What are your thoughts, Tom?
I want to really zero in on what he says about Scripture. I have a whole list of Scriptures that he uses, and they are always taken out of context. Let me just give you one to back up what the listener was saying. It's on page 107. The Scripture says in Luke 12:32, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, when you look at Luke 12:32, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, that spiritual kingdom, the holy Christian church, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. Now, listen how Joel Osteen interprets that promise. God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but you have to have the faith of a child and be willing to ask. What a horrible understanding of that passage, that the kingdom of God means that the desires of my heart come about, many of them which are out of total self-interest and sinful, as every week we confess we're poor, miserable sinners. So I can give you many verses where he takes passages directed to certain people in the Old Testament and applies it to us today, as though those promises are sure today for us as they were for those individual people. So the listener made a very, very good point. The other thing I'd like to just talk about just a bit in light of what he said, Joel Osteen is following the tradition of the Schwärmerei. That was a group at the time of Luther. The English translation are enthusiasts. They get their revelation from God, not out of the Bible, but out of their heart. Page 71, this is what Joel Osteen says. One day I heard God saying something to me, not out loud, but just inside my heart. He says, Joel, you've told me all about what you don't have. I'm not interested in that. All I'm asking you to do is use what you do have. And he says then a few pages later, but when God puts a dream in your heart, when he gives a promise on the inside, deep down, you know that you will succeed. And listen to the examples. You know your family relationships will be restored. You know your health will return. You know your business dreams will come true. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Try and find Jesus making any of these promises. They just don't appear.
Bill listens in his car. Hi, Bill.
Well, actually not the house, but Osteen does not exactly preach appeasement, which in itself is a pagan practice, but rather manipulation. And the manipulation of the spiritual realm kind of borders on sorcery, in my opinion.
Bill, thank you very much. What do you make of it, Tom?
If I understand what he's saying there, what sorcery is the ability to manipulate the spiritual forces. As the Bible says, you know, we're filled with principalities and powers. One of the best books I ever read on that was by Dr. Montgomery about how the powers and principalities are all over us at times. Now, we want to control them, but we can't. But God controls them. In a mighty fortress is our God. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. But the problem in Joel's book is we're trying to find words that will fell God. So he will be out of his limitations and be able to provide us with the things that supposedly he has given our hearts to believe. But there is no evidence in the Bible that God gives me specific promises that my health will be restored, that my wealth will be increased, that my relationships, broken as they often are, will be mended before I die.
Here's another cut from Joel Osteen's book, Breakout. He makes some remarkable claims in the book, but this may be one of the greater ones, that he can actually see the future of the people who are reading his book.
Sometimes you need faith and victory spoken over your life. Words have creative power. When you receive them into your spirit, they can ignite seeds of increase on the inside. I'm declaring a shift is coming. A shift in your health, a shift in your finances, a shift in a relationship. I believe and declare God will put you in a position you could have never gotten to on your own. No, I can see something in your future. Through my eyes of faith, I can see a tidal wave coming your way. It's not a wave of defeat, a wave of discouragement, a wave of more of the same. It's a wave of God's favor.
So what's the claim that Joel is making here, Tom, with about a minute or so before we go to our next break?
The idea that words have power, if you look up the word power in the Bible, it's dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. It never refers to the power of the words of human beings. It is referring to the word of God that has the power. But Joel Osteen decides to speak over your life. I have 15 occasions when he makes promises that only God will make. For example, because you are a believer, all will be well with you. All will be well with your family. All will be well with your finances. All will be well in your health. all will be well with your career. Has he no understanding of Christians who are being persecuted in other lands? Has he no understanding of the hurts that Christians go through? And blessed are those who are persecuted. It's as though he's on a different planet.
Pastor Tom Baker's our guest. When we come back, we'll have another 10 minutes with him reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. Our call-in number, this break is a good time to call with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email as well. Right here in the studio, we get them in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. After another 10 minutes of review of Joel Osteen's book with Pastor Tom Baker, we'll be talking about media coverage of the Texas so-called Merry Christmas law that was passed this summer and allows, well, all religious views to be represented at the time of the holidays, so to speak. And we'll also talk with Tammy Ross about a New York Times story about Christian adoption that she says she wishes she would have written herself. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us later in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., continuing our series on Christ in the Old Testament today in Isaiah chapter 35, The Ransomed Shall Return. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, a question or a comment for Pastor Tom Baker on Joel Osteen, his theology, and his latest book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can also send us a tweet at issuesetc. Stay tuned. More review of Joel Osteen's book with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues, Etc. has operated in the black for 5 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2013, we're $44,000 short of making our budget. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
You need to see yourself differently. You are a barrier breaker. You are uncontainable. You have so much talent in you, so much potential. There are seeds of greatness on the inside. If you'll break free from that limited mindset and enlarge your vision, you will see God take you places that you've never dreamed of.
That's Joel Osteen reading from his latest book, Breakout, 5 Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Reviewing this book on this Thursday afternoon, December the 12th, with Pastor Tom Baker for about another 10 minutes or so. Let's see what Dennis has to say. He listens in O'Fallon, Illinois. Hi, Dennis.
Good afternoon. Just listening, it seems like this guy is dabbling in a number of different false doctrines, such as, like, the inner light. He even perverts modernism to some extent and has his own version of it, perfectionism, even when the disciples were thinking that Jesus was going to have a militant kingdom and take the Romans out. But it seemed, and then on top of that, we haven't even heard any scripture out of this guy. And it reminds me, I think it was Menno Simons that said that without this experience, this inner light inside you, the gospel or the Bible is nothing but a cold, dead lantern.
Dennis, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in O'Fallon, Illinois. Tom?
There's nothing new under the sun. That's found already in the Old Testament. And when you go to the seminary, you discover that even the false heresies of today are just repeats of what are found even in the early church. It's estimated that by the second century, every false teaching that's ever come about in the following centuries were already found. And I already named, like, enthusiasm, Schwärmerei, but I can name about 5 other heresies that are found in this book again and again, because he leaves the word of God in order to talk about his own dreams.
Let's see what Cheryl has to say. She listens in Indianapolis. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. This is reminding me of John 6, verse 26, when Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." Joel Osteen is teaching people to believe in a false God.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for listening in Indianapolis. Tom?
I couldn't agree more.
Let's hear again from Joel Osteen, because as you said earlier in our conversation, the book systematically places a number of conditions on the reader that they need to fulfill before God will fulfill his part, so to speak. And one of those is a phrase that Osteen likes to use a lot, that is honoring God.
Because you've honored God, he will put you in a position that you could have never attained on your own. He said because you honor him, he would give you houses that you didn't have to build. Because you've honored God and lived with excellence and integrity, God will take you beyond your training, beyond your education, beyond your income, beyond where anyone in your family has gone before.
What's Osteen saying, Tom?
He's saying that his view of God is certainly not the one found in the Scriptures. Because on page 166, he says also, "In tough times, remind yourself there is always a reward for doing right. God never fails to compensate you. He pays very well." Now, why would I want to do right now? Not out of my love for Jesus Christ, but God pays very well. On 175, if you pass the test, God will release what he has in your future. And going back to the caller just before us, she said something that Jesus himself said after the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Now, that's confusing because we think that the loaves was the sign. But the reason he gave bread is he's God who gave the manna. The signs they missed was that he had all the signs of being the promised Messiah, the Son of God. But they were only interested in the temporality of eating of the loaves and so forth.
Listening in St. Louis, Ann is on the line. Hi, Ann.
Oh, good afternoon. This is reminding me of what Revelation has said, that the Antichrist will come from within the church.
Ann, thank you very much. How would you respond to that, Tom?
There's no doubt that John talks about the spirit of the Antichrist, and one can take a look throughout the ages and see that spirit. Our confessions speak of a specific Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist comes any time that somebody is saying something, pretending they're saying it about Jesus, when in reality they're giving the work of Satan. These comments made in this book are really from the pit of hell itself, the very same kinds of things that Satan said to Eve, and I'm sure that he said to David when David sinned with Bathsheba.
Deborah listens in San Jose, California. She sends this along, Tom. She says, it is very difficult to listen to Joel Osteen's words. For me personally, I've been quite sick for years. Does this mean I don't have enough faith? This teaching is very dangerous, says Deborah in San Jose. What are your thoughts there?
She's not dying on a cross. Take anything that happens in your life and compare it to the cross. Because he was totally innocent, and yet he went that route for you, so that if you have hope only for this life, you will be most miserable. It's possible God, through doctors and medicine and miracles, could heal you, but you will be totally healed on that day when the great judgment comes and you're taken into the heavenly kingdom.
Well, the book, as it typically does, kind of winds up to an end where Joel tries to wrap everything up, and this is how he does it. He talks about how we need to do our part, and in keeping with the title of his book, Breakout.
Here's how the scripture puts it. Be confident of this. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God is saying to you,
that he will complete your incompletions. He remembers the dreams he's placed in your heart. He has lined up the right people and the right opportunities. It's not too late. You haven't missed too many opportunities. You haven't made too many mistakes. Get your fire back. Get your passion back. Things have shifted in your favor. God is going to finish what he started. Now do your part and break out of anything that's holding you back.
What's the final message there for the reader of this book, Breakout, from Joel Osteen?
It's a message of hope that he thinks is hope. But I'd like to say something here. This hour of Issues, Etc. wasn't primarily just to give you information about Joel Osteen. It's also, from a law gospel point of view, to accuse you and me of thinking just like him. Was there not a recent occasion when your plans fell apart and you got angry, perhaps even at God? How many funerals have we attended in which the person in the casket we think died too soon or under terrible circumstances? And what about concerns of our own health, financial condition, or family problems? You see, that certainly was true with the disciples when their friend was crucified. It didn't matter how much faith they had or how strong Peter was in defending Jesus in Gethsemane. God had other plans for them that would be far better, not just for the disciples, but also for the whole world. So when I read Joel Osteen, I see me and the way I normally think. And that's why I was so glad to be able to read it, to help me understand that such thinking is contrary to the Lord. Because our hope and our promises aren't based on what Joel Osteen has, but instead on verses like Romans 15:4. For whatever things were written before were written for our instruction, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Tom, a couple things I noticed in going through the book in preparation for our review here. One is something that wasn't there very often. Actually, someone who wasn't there very often in the book. And I came to the conclusion after finishing it, as I have with other Osteen books, he didn't even really need to be in there. Jesus.
Right.
You don't need Jesus to do Osteen's kind of theology, do you?
Nope. Like I said, I'm willing to write a book and all of my examples will be atheists and unbelievers.
Finally, Tom, what does this teaching that is repeated again and again by Joel Osteen every week, these books are really just nothing but compilations of his best sermons from his television program, that is repeated again and again in his many best-selling books, where does this teaching ultimately leave the reader if they buy into it?
It leads the reader to become God, because we now have the power to take the limitations off of the Holy Creator so that he might be able to bless us. He wants to, but he's unable to do so. And therefore, as in all false teaching, it breaks the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the God we have is the person we're looking at in the mirror.
Pastor Tom Baker, thanks for joining us to review Breakout by Joel Osteen.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate timely reviews of best-selling books from Pop American Christianity, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. Got 3 weeks left in the year. We're currently $44,000 short of making budget. No gift is too small. You can donate by check, make that check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure year-end contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. Our listeners, for 5 years running, have helped us meet and exceed our budget every single year. With $44,000 to go and 3 weeks left in the year, I am certain that our listeners are up to the task, again, of helping Issues, Etc., end the year in the black. Thanks for listening, as always, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of 2013. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about media coverage of two stories, a Texas Merry Christmas Law and a New York Times story that is about Christian adoption, actually turned out pretty good. Tammy Ross of GetReligion.org will be our guest. Then we will continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament today in Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses, the ransomed shall return. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. right after this.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.